Hallelujah. Raise one hand, let's say this together. Dear Father, in the name of your Son Jesus, in this service, we receive revelation knowledge in clarity and in accuracy. Our hearts are purified by the Spirit of truth. So we receive your word without distraction, confusion, in the name of your Son Jesus. Together as his church, we behold Jesus Christ your Son, even as he sees us in him. In here, he is glorified as we are edified, built up by the power of the Holy Spirit, alongside those who hear us, and the body of Christ. Amen. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, we are still on the sacred place, the church. Identification is very important. Knowing who and what and why. Knowing who and what and why. In fact, as a younger pastor, I'm still a young one, we didn't take offerings in the ministry in the middle 90s for months. You know why? Because I won't do that anymore. Because then we could afford to hold the meetings in a free venue. So that was one of the reasons why I took the principle. But then, the point for me then was to explain to people why you give. I don't want to assume that you know. Why do you give? What is church? You know, we must identify what is church. And modern times, and I put something out on Facebook just this morning, I said, God is not expecting us to copy the culture of the world. As soon as the organization started doing remote jobs and meetings, a lot of meetings are taking place now online, interactions. Unfortunately, churches felt that was the mind of God. And that came to, it makes one realize how much of the word of God is really taught. Because that should never have been an option. Should have been an option. So we're not expected to adopt a culture. And I always tell pastors, I say, this generation, I say, God is not telling you to adapt to a generation. That's not what he asks you to do. And that's what holiness is about. He's asking you to transform a generation. And that's important. Now, do I understand that you need to understand the generation? You need to know. But he has not asked you to adapt. Romans 12:2 says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove. The Greek of that word is to approve. That which is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. In fact, the previous verse, verse 1 says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, Romans 12:1, that you present your bodies. Now, many versions have bodies, which is very important to explain. And I've told you this. The word bodies there is not the physical body, as a living sacrifice. Because the word sacrifice there is a temple language. Living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable worship. So that's a temple conversation. So the word body there will be the body of Christ. Your union. That's the word body, soma. Because earlier on in Romans 6:6, it talked about the body of sin. There's the mortal body, right? But there's the body of sin, union with sin, which has been destroyed. So there's a union with God. And in the book of Romans, Paul talks about the union of God and man in Christ, the union of Jews and Gentiles, which is the emphasis of Romans 12:1. Present it as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable worship. The word worship there, the Greek, has to do with temple service. So by verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. But now, this world has the culture of Jews and Gentiles, has the, of course, by the time you have culture, you have religion, you have mode of speech, mode of behavior. So do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, verse 2, by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove or approve or acknowledge or accept that which is the good, perfect, acceptable, and perfect will, permissible, and perfect will of God. So to know the will of God, we have to renew our minds. We are not supposed to adapt ourselves to the culture of this world, or to accept the culture of this world. It's not what we're going to do about it. We're supposed to receive the culture of God's word, and begin to adapt ourselves to it. Are you here? So we need to know what is the church and who is the church. Because last week we began to look at what the church is, and we looked at the union of God and man, heaven and earth, and mankind. But we need to get further. And what's the church? And that will help you when you are going for a church service. When you are going for a church service. For example, the fellow, the sister I just told now, and I said, you should have had a Bible. I'm not saying it as a side comment. Mm-mm. When you are going to church, having a Bible should not be something you have to be reminded of, because you know where you are going to. So we need to recognize and realize, where are we going to? What do they do there? So in our studies, it's not just to add to your knowledge, it's to change your conduct. To change how, see, the word of God is not just about having information and all that. And then that's why some people immediately hear something and they tweet it, they send it on Twitter, or on Facebook. Blah, 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 blah. No. They're not even looking at themselves. James 1 tells us, and the way James built that case was very interesting. In verse 17, he says, 16 says, do not err, my beloved brethren. Then he says, every good gift and every perfect gift from above, verse 17, from the Father of lights, whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning, of his own will, verse 18, James 1, begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of a first fruit of his own creatures. Then in 19, he says, be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God, laying aside all filthiness and spoil. Not there, James 1:21. Receive with meekness the engrafted word. Notice he talked about the word in 18, which is able to save the souls. Be ye doers of the word, verse 22, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Be ye doers of the word. So when you hear about the church, it's not a sermon that should come to your mind first. It's your conduct in church. Your conduct. Your attitude to church. I was saying this on Wednesday, about, you know, some brethren who, when you want to pray with them, sisters now, when you want to pray with them, and they're in the office or something, I said, let's pray. They just take something like an handkerchief, they put it on their head, they put something, someone was laughing. You don't even know the Bible. And what do you say? You don't have to cover your head, you know, and all that. But sometimes we lose what they have done, or why, sorry. They might not be correct in using the cloth to cover their heads, but they are correct in treating that prayer meeting in a very special way. They might not be correct in using cloth on their heads, but the attitude that what we're about to do is sacred should never be lost. So there must be an attitude that you have towards church. Are you here? Matthew's Gospel 1:1. The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And we said, the writers therefore intend that we should read the Old Testament. The context of the four Gospels is the Old Testament. I'll take it again. The context of the epistles is the book of Acts. Because the book of Acts and the epistles either happened simultaneously, or the events happened before the epistles were written. So the context of the epistles, that is from Romans to Revelation, is the book of Acts. The context of the book of Acts are the events of the four Gospels. So you must read them. That is why in the study of scripture, you must read backwards. Context cannot be what was done afterwards. It has to be what was done before it. So most of the time, or many times, we encounter challenges when we primarily want to interpret the Old Testament using the New Testament. So the context of the four Gospels will now be the Law and the Prophets. That is the Old Testament books. The Law and the Prophets. So I must keep reading backwards. That's the intent of Matthew here. Read backwards. Matthew's Gospel 28. The text we're going to revert to in a moment. And 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all authority, that's what power, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always to the end of the world. Amen. And then we'll remind you that I've told you the opposite of heaven is not hell, right? Alright. Heaven or hell. You know, you won't even find heaven and hell used in the same sentence in the Bible, right? There's nowhere. Heaven and hell are used in the same sentence in the Bible. But it seems to be the way we've interpreted the scriptures today. Now, Mark's Gospel 1:1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The word beginning there is the Greek meaning of the word Genesis. Then it says in verse 2, as written the prophets, behold, I send a messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee, which is actually Malachi 3, verse 1. So Mark is expecting you to read Malachi and then to also read Genesis. Then in verse 3, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight, which is Isaiah 40 and 3. So then Mark is letting you see that you can't understand a verse just by reading verses before it and the verses after it. A verse came out of books before the verse. I'll take that again. A verse of scripture, a text better still, of scripture came out of books written before that book. So you must go back there and read them to understand it. Mark's Gospel 16. Go into all the world, and 15, and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned or condemned. This sign shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out demons, as well as devils. They shall speak with new tongues, then 18. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly, they shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and then the sick shall recover. So then, as the Lord has spoken unto them, he was driven into heaven, and sat on the right hand of God. Verse 20. Please read your Bible, not me. And he went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them and confirming the word with signs following. Again, Jesus is called the Lord. The Old Testament phrase to describe God. Tomorrow, in the morning, when we continue our series of Seated on High, I'm going to show you something, again, along the lines of those decisions we're doing. He's called the Lord. This is the Lord walking with them, which means that he has an ever-present identity, personality. He's God. Luke's Gospel 1:1, for as much as many have taken their hands and said, for the Lord declared those things which are most assuredly among us, he will not deliver them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. It seemed good also to me, having had perfect understanding of all things, from the very first writer of the email of the most excellent Theophilus, that thou mayest know the certainty of those things which they have been instructed. Now, Luke, arguably, has been said to be the only non-Jewish writer of the Bible, and he's a disciple of Paul. So it gives us a very strong emphasis of the ministry of Jesus to the Gentiles. Gentiles means other nations outside Israel. So Luke is arguably, make sure you put that properly, arguably the only non-Jewish writer of scripture. Only. So Luke's gospel, because Luke gives us the idea that Jesus had Gentiles in his ministry, in his mind. In Luke 9, Jesus sends out 12 to the tribes of Israel. In Luke 10, he sends out 70 to other places, other people. His ministry, you know, captured both Jews and Gentiles. So he's not just a savior of the Jews, he's a savior of the world, like John 4:42 says. Luke 24 and verse 25. This is upon the resurrection again. It says here that Jesus saying to them, you old fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So Jesus again goes back to Genesis, then goes to Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, to explain about himself. And I said to us the other day, there's not just a prophecy about himself. In fact, on on Friday, I said this again to us, and I've said it over time anyway, that, you know, we're always looking forward to thus saith the Lord as prophecies of the Old Testament in the New Testament. But I said to us that much of what is prophecy in the Old Testament are patterns. Notice the regularities. They are patterns. That's why in Matthew we say that it might be fulfilled. And it's not referring to a prophecy. So there are patterns. And what I'm saying is that the people who said those things were not talking about the future. But because they are patterns, patterns themselves in scriptures are prophecies. So we call them non-verbal prophecies when you see a pattern. And some speeches were not futuristic from the mind of the writer, or sorry, the author, but eventually, because of the nature of patterns in scripture, what you call the motif, they became prophecies to us. Are you here? Very well. So when it says concerning himself, it's not referring to thus saith the Lord. In fact, let me say this. There are not many predictions about Jesus in the Old Testament, as we suppose. Usually, much of those things were not intended by the speakers. There are not many. For example, in the most prominent one is Genesis 3:15. The seed of the woman who bruised the head of the serpent. Notice that that seed, in immediate reference, was Abel. That in immediate reference was Abel. Now, did he eventually become Jesus? Oh, yeah, sure. Because Jesus died for our sins, 1 Corinthians 15:3, according to the scriptures. So eventually, yeah, Jesus, but it was Abel. He bruised the head of the serpent. And the seed, there'll be enmity. That enmity was in Cain and Abel. And we saw that enmity throughout the book of Genesis, then Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. So Jesus partook of that statement. It wasn't immediately about him. Why Jesus assumed what we call the promise of the Old Testament is because God, who he is, became a man. That's it. Get the series, The Name of Jesus. I did explain this again and again, how Jesus took the promise of the Old Testament, which were not directed at him. Because listen, if the promise of the Old Testament was so direct, oh, that Jesus is going to come, going to die, then how come the prince of this world did not know it? It wasn't as direct as we think. We only talk today with the benefit of hindsight, but it wasn't as direct. And then he will come, I'm going to cross and die for your sins. And then when he does that, he goes, it's so direct. Christ died for our sins, according to scripture, was prophesied. Then the devil knew that that was the game. He said, stop. Please, give me back my life. He wouldn't have done anything. But, you know, I told you on Friday that the intelligence of man is almost at par, sometimes higher than that of the devil. So, to get the devil to be confused man. Because Satan is not all-knowing. He gains information from conversations. I'll take that again. He gains information from conversations. He didn't know Jesus was born until the wise men, my friend will say wise and foolish men, I won't say that one, went to Aaron to say, he saw a star. Aaron didn't see the star. You are going to tell him about the star. And he said, hey, don't worry, come and do follow up. Let's do the place. They were going back to tell him that we found him. God said, he warned them and he said, go. He said, don't take Oshodi. go through my 12 and get out. So he was confused. Same way. You know, I was sharing this with some people, and I said, God always uses discreet people. Have you noticed it? People that are discreet and smart. Imagine if Miriam, you know, that's how the tool that he was going to use to redeem Israel was raised in the house of Pharaoh. In his house. Imagine if Miriam had told your friend, you know, you are my bestie. See, that boy I'm taking care of in the house of, he's my brother. But please, between you and I. The dad, the mom, the sister, the brother. 40 years. 40. He didn't tell Jacob too that Joseph was alive.
He's alive. He's in Egypt.
Then he will leave for Egypt. And go and appeal to Potiphar.
He's my son.
Please. And you'll prostrate. Get him out.
He can never, I know him.
Then they have gone back. And they will be hungry and come back for corn. With the man that ought to have been the deliverer. Are you here? So God used a lot of discreet people. Miriam was discreet. Aaron was discreet. The mom, the father, very discreet. Are you here? Where is the Lord? So one of the things, how to walk with God, you put shh on your mouth, okay? Shh. Let him shh. So you know God is leading me right now. God, he has not prayed about it. God is leading me right now. He has not prayed though. He goes on Facebook. God is leading right now to start churches. He has not prayed. God is leading him. Then lead becomes copper. He has a problem here. He's wondering, is it that God did not lead me? He led you. But he didn't lead you to be opening your mouth, Bagada, like running tap. You were quiet. Do you know how old Moses was? How old? Imagine if Abraham had told Sarah, me and Isaac were going to Mount Moriah. What are you going to do with the boy? Well, it was an adult, actually. Well, I'm not going to kill him. Trust me, Oni. I'm just going to bring that. Why are you going with the knife? Don't worry, Oni. Trust me. Okay? We're going together. Because how do you want to explain to your wife that we're going to go to do a figure of speech? Must you use a knife? It is a figure of speech. Why a real knife? Why wood? Huh. You know, I told you. I know you still send mails to that boy Ishmael. That's since that common conspiracy theories. But it's good that after the guy came back, said, Mommy, you know, today I just saw a revelation. What happened? You know, Dad went with me and he took a knife and said, knife? Oh, poor, thank God. Hey, you are fine, you know. So, are you here? So God always uses the scripture. Imagine Joseph also. He said, I can't believe Mary can read this to me. I said, Joe, what's happening? I don't really want to talk about it. Joe, tell me now, what's it? You know, you are my bestie. Like, I hide anything from you. It's Muriel. She has chopped onion. Hey, what happened? I don't know who she's going out with now. It's not me. Can I say, Mary, that woman of God. Hey, only God knows who is serving me. So, incarnation not spoiled. This has ruined the incarnation. So, God uses a lot of people who says, shh. Samuel is going to the house of Jesse. He didn't even tell him the boy's name. That they're going to go and anoint David and all that. You know, just a good hand of this, I'll show you. Because sometimes he gives us information small. He knows how we are. I don't know if Samuel, God always spoke steps. I don't know. One, then two, then three. And Samuel said, Saul must not know, you know, he's after my life. I said, well, no, no, what? I am Yahweh. Put it on your DP. A new king. You know, everything is on their DP. Everything, if they are thinking, is on their DP. Hey, it's on WhatsApp status. It's a problem with the common generation, and we are going to conquer it. It's an acceptance problem. You want people to accept, because why would somebody be opening his life to the world? That means you are looking for acceptance. See, hey, some of them will be chatting with their friends on their WhatsApp. Guys, come and see where I am on WhatsApp. Now somebody I saw, I said, come. Who is this for? He said, are you talking to me? He said, no, sir. But why do you put it in the public? He said, yes, sir. I'm sorry, sir. I'll remove it. I said, no, remove it first. Let's understand what is going on in your mind. Removing is not the answer. What's going on in your mind? You think the whole world should know where you are? Sir, I didn't know what came over me. I said, well, I know what it is. a demon. Are you here? Praise the Lord. Now that doesn't mean that you need someone to pray for you are sick. You say, Pastor said we should be discreet. So when they say, if you are sick in your body, come out and say, ha. Pastor said we should be discreet. And you go to the doctor to tell him the discretion. Are you in church? Tell you something from there? So the things about Jesus are not necessarily a prophet. Thus saith the Lord, you will die for your sins. No. They are seeing in, see, the game changer, and I'll say this, the matrix, what broke the back of the enemy was God becoming a man. That legitimate right to assume the patterns of scripture and the prophecies, as it were, became legitimate and legal for Jesus the moment he became a man. And that was a game changer. Nothing could stop what God was doing anymore. Hallelujah. I think we'll get to that. I still think I'll teach the name of Jesus sometimes. Maybe I have many things I'll say to you, but I know you can bear that. Amen. Let's go. These are the ones who are spiritual while I was yet with you that also believe the Lord. Most important than Psalms concerning me. Again, it goes back to the Old Testament. Then they put it to understand that they might understand the scriptures. Look at me, guys. If you don't understand the Old Testament, you don't understand the New Testament. Let me say it again clearly. If you do not understand the Old Testament, you can't understand the New Testament. The four gospels cannot be clear to you. So our understanding of the Old Testament books, of course we say Old Testament based on today's words, modern words, they're not Old Testament, they're God's word. Yeah, our understanding of the Old Testament books is how we're going to understand the New, and vice versa. Because that's the word together. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Every writer goes back to the beginning, also called the foundation of the world. Katabole, foundation of the world. And that's why Jesus said to them that if you don't understand the parable of the sower, you can't understand any other parable. Why? Parable of the sower is a Genesis parable. Seed was sown, they grow, they mature. Genesis is about seeds. If you don't get it, if you don't get Genesis, you can't get the whole Bible. Genesis is key. That's the plan. That's the pursuit. That is the project. You must know what is in Genesis. The moment we thought Genesis was about God creating the heavens and the earth in the sense of the material world, we missed the whole story. So in John 1:1, it says there was a logos, which we have said is the Baba Yahweh, the word of the Lord, the self-visible, expressive God who was seen by people. God wasn't seen for the first time in the four gospels. That's Jesus. He's only seen for the first time in the four gospels as a man. Let's see a few texts. Look at Exodus chapter 3. Verse 6. I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Now, that means he had seen him. Then he, I'm looking at God. So he had seen him before he withdrew his face. To look upon God. So he was seen. So the four gospels were not the first time that he was seen. No, it's not the first time. He had been seen many times in the Old Testament books. However, in the four gospels is the word that the visible God, John 1:14, became human. So he was now seen with naked eyes. What do you mean by that? Was seen just the same way we look at people today, visibly. Let's see another place in Exodus quickly. Learn something here? Good. Exodus 24. Verse 9. Then went up Moses, Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 elders of Israel. And look at 10. Let's go. 10. Exodus 24 verse 10. Let's go. And they what? They saw the God of Israel. They saw the God of Israel. That's Jesus, right? They saw the God of Israel. So, in the four Gospels was to see him as a man. John's Gospel 20, quickly. And verse 22, when it says, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Whosoever sins you remit are remitted unto them. Whosoever sins you retain are retained." When it says, "Breathe on them," or "them" is italicized, the word "breathe" is emphusal. Same action in Genesis 2:7 when he put life into man. So the four gospel writers are saying that Jesus is God. Therefore, the same way we know who Jesus is, pay attention please, the same way we know who Jesus is by reading the Old Testament, we would only know who the church is or what the church is by reading the Old Testament books. Who and what is the church? So last week, we said the church is a union. Remember that? The house of God is a union. Go to 1 Timothy 3:15. The house of God is a union. We have quite a few things to look at today, so pay attention. 1 Timothy 3:15. "If I tarry long, that thou may know how you ought to behave yourself." Are you here? Are you there? 1 Timothy 3:15. How? Let's take it together. Let's go. 1 Timothy 3. Let's go. But if I'll wait for you. Let's go. Let's go. I'm saying everybody, let's read it together. Let's go. "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of truth." Now, house of God is an Old Testament concept. The word we have here is oikia, from the word oikos. Now, it's used for, pay attention, a building, a gathering, a people. A building, a gathering, a people. The house of God is an Old Testament concept. Old Testament, I mean the books of Genesis to Malachi. So last week, we said the house of God is a union. A union. One person can't be house. Right? It's a union, we said, of heaven and earth. What else? Come on, talk to me. God and man. Number three, mankind. So the house of God is a place of union. Now let's see the four gospel writers. Matthew 28:18. "All authority is given me in heaven and in earth." Heaven and earth. "Go ye therefore and teach all nations." All nations together. Verse 20. "Lo, I am with you always." So, the Great Commission here captures what the house of God is. Heaven and earth. God and men. Then mankind together. Look at Mark 16. "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Union of mankind. Every creature. Mark 16. Then look at verse 19. "After he had spoken to them," pay attention, this is very important, so you don't miss it out. "He was received up unto heaven and sat on the right hand of God." So he's received up to heaven and sat at the right hand of God. Look at 20. "And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord walking with them." So look at the two things that happened here. Heaven and earth. Now, the Lord is walking with them where? On earth. And the Lord is in where? In heaven. So two things. Heaven and earth together there, right? What about God and man? Yeah. So the Great Commission has God and man, nations together, heaven and earth together. In Luke 24. Same concept. Luke 24:47. "Repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name amongst all nations." His name, there is his presence. We'll deal with that in the second service. Amongst all nations. Nations together. Then he says in 49, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Where is it from? Power from on high. Heaven and earth together, God and man together, nations together. So the Great Commission itself lets us know it's about union. Heaven and earth together, mankind together, of course God and man together. So in Genesis 28, let's revert back there quickly, where the concept of the house of God was first mentioned in scripture. Here Jacob has a vision. I will say it again and again, you don't know the church from the senses. You know the church by revelation. The way you act in a church meeting shows whether you have the revelation of the church or not. I remember a series I taught in 1997, The Revelation of the Christian. And I said then that you can only, 96, and I said that you can only know a Christian by revelation. You can't know a Christian by how he dresses, dressing his culture. You can't even know a Christian by someone going to a church service, even though a Christian should go to church. You know a Christian by revelation in God's word. Same way the church. So in Genesis 28, Jacob knows the house of God by a revelation. God revealed it to him. He's of heaven and earth in the same place. He's of God with him always. And he saw, pay attention, God and man together. Nations together, heaven and earth together, God and man together. And he says in verse 17, this is the house of God, Bayith, B-A-Y-I-T-H, where we have the word Bethel, is the house of God. Look at 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel 7. David is now a big boy. You know, he used to be a shepherd boy who was at the back head of the desert. Dad didn't even know he was anywhere. When Jesse was told where his children, he called the seven guys. He didn't remember David. So David is now a big boy. He's got money. He's looking good. And then he is... There's an interesting way First Samuel puts it. He really doesn't, he's not doing much. You know, it's cooling off. So he has things to think about. Second Samuel 7, he says, oh, David sat in his house. He sat in his house. He's not praying, no evangelism. He's not casting out demons. The Lord had given him rest above of all his enemies. He's looking good. You know, he has time to watch DSTV every day. So he now said to Nathan the prophet, he's now very relaxed, he's comfortable, he's prosperous. He says, look at verse 2, he says, look at where I stay. I'm staying in a cool estate, but look at where God stays. A tabernacle, he's not looking good. Second Samuel 7, he says, there's nothing. I said, okay, what do you want to do in your heart? He said, I will build a house for God. Let's get God comfortable. That's what David did. He said, "Let me this old cool." He said, "Look, if I can stay in this kind of mansion and God staying in that crooked area, can we just get God a house? You know, he has no wars to fight, so he's living well. So he's thinking about making God comfortable." And then the Lord of God came to Nathan, and he says, "Verse 5, you want to build me a house?" That's how he said, "Shall you build me a house for me to dwell in? Like, are you drunk? Whereas I've not dwelt in any house since the time I brought thee up, children of Israel, out of Egypt, even to this day, I've walked in a tent and in a tabernacle. And in all the places, verse 7, wherein I walked, with all the children of Israel speak, I walked in a..." So he went on. Look at verse 8. He now says, "Look at me, guy." That's my own version. "I took you from the sheepcote, from following the sheep," 2 Samuel 7, 8, "to be ruler over my people." Then he said, "Have you forgotten where you're from?" Don't let God ask you those kind of questions. He says, "So God, just, I know, this is between you and I. Just, don't make it a Facebook post. I was still where you were." And God said, "I will build you a house." "I will do it. You are the one that will come and live where I am." Not the other way around. So God, therefore, and he talked about people, children, and seed. So God gave David that instruction, that promise. to build a people. So very vital to understand the church and the house of God, it's a people. A people. So Matthew 16, quick one. Jesus says, I will build, which is the word oikodomio, Matthew 16, verse 18. Upon this rock, I will build my church. I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Building is meant to be for a house. But it says, I will build people. So people are the house. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Pay attention to verse 19, Matthew 16. I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. The only reason why they can happen simultaneously is because the church is heaven and earth. Again, remove the word heaven from your head to mean where dead people go. It's a very, very, very wrong translation of Bible. It's not where dead people go. Heaven is here on earth. Heaven and earth overlap, they intersect. So he says, whatever you bind on earth, he's bound in heaven. So the church of Christ is a heaven and earth. We say the church is a heaven and earth people. Say again, the church is a heaven and earth people. Say the church is a heaven and earth people. So the church is a heaven and earth people. The church meeting. Now this looks, pay attention to this one now. It says whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. So in the church we have the union of heaven and earth. Look at Matthew 18. In Matthew 18, it talks about how to reconcile brethren. It says in verse 15, if your brother should trespass against you, you should go to your brother, tell him his fault. If he listens to you, solve the problem. If he does not listen to you, verse 16 says, go with two or three who will go. And another amount of two or three witnesses, let every word be a tab. Now look at verse 17. Pay very good attention here. Now it says, if one person should go, he says, and the guy listens, he says, that's fine. If he doesn't listen to you, go with two or three. Now, if two or three don't get the job done, he doesn't listen to them. Now look at 17. Pay attention. If he neglects to hear them, tell it to the church. Now pause. I know by the original research that the word church here is the word synagogue. Now, it's also church, but I'll tell you the significance. Synagogue is the place where the church will meet. It's a mini temple where the church will meet. So tell it to the, you can put it like this, tell it to the church meeting. Or add, tell it to the local church. Now this word is for a specific place. It has specific leadership and order. I did the study for us last year. We did a study together about that the synagogue and why Paul would say, ask their husbands where they get home. And I told you how that should be understood. Many times we read the Bible like it was written last night. No. It has a culture behind it. Watch this. Now, if he neglects to hear the church, let him be unto thee. That was the last place. Like a sinner, eating man, and a publican. Now look at 18. Let's take 18 together. Verily I say unto you, let's go. Whatever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you shall lose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything which shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I've taken this in the second service, there am I in the midst of them. Now notice what he calls the assembly. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Why is it like that? Because heaven and earth intersect in the church meeting. So this meeting, even though we can see earthly things, we can see the seats, we can see the roofs, we can see ourselves too. We can see the cameras, we can see the chairs, we can see the screen, we can see the... But there's heaven here. Are you here? It's a heaven and earth assembly. It's a heaven and earth assembly. It's a heaven and earth meeting. This is a meeting of heaven and earth. Now, if people were mature, now, imagine leaving home and say, where are you going to? Oh, I'm going to heaven. I bind it in Jesus' name. I'm going to heaven. Say, heaven where? 608 Street. Are you mad? But really, that's where you are going. You are going to a meeting of heaven and earth. That's what the church service is. That's what God calls it. Because whatever we do here is heavenly, right? Whatever we do here is heavenly. Heaven and earth. 1 Timothy 3:15, he calls it the house of God. The house of God. The house of God. Now pause. You know it's easy to say, I'm going to the house of God. Have a great time, oh. But change it to heaven. Eh? But sometimes God is in heaven, they say yes. But God lives in heaven, they say yes. So I'm going to the house of God, they say yes. I'm going to where God lives, they say yes. I'm going to heaven, no. Are you here? So, but you know, you don't have to say that tomorrow, okay? I create problems and say, I just came back from heaven. No, I just came from heaven. We are in heaven. Praise God. Because this is not a club meeting. At least not Chelsea. This is not, imagine. Everybody is even talking about. let's keep our eyes on the ball. Because I have a message I'm going to preach one day. And I'm cooking it. It will be very, very. I'm holding myself. Anyway, so when you go to church, it's a heavenly assembly, right? This is not a regular meeting. No, it's not. Now, remember last week, we said the first thing that Jacob said, Jacob 28, Genesis 28. In 16. It says, surely the Lord is in this place. Anyone who believe that? You believe that? But look at the problem. I didn't know. Have you heard people ask you this kind of question? Where do you think you are? Have you heard that before? Where do you think you are? Do you get it? Where do you think you are? I said, I'm so sorry. Where do you think you are? Because they expect you to know. Where do you think you are? I'm in church. I know. It's church now. We're just guys, you know, hanging out. Everybody, let's go and hang out in church. It's not just anger. It's wardrobe. You know what you say? Let's go hang out. No. He says, I didn't know. The Lord is in this place. That's why Paul would say, know how you behave. There's a way you behave. In an occasion. How you behave. Are you there? There's a way you behave. For example, if you're a lawyer, you guys are talking, as you get into the courtroom, and then the judge enters, you change the way you behave. And the guy says, you're answering your phone. He says, counselor, or what are you doing? Say, I can raise my phone again. You know how you behave because of where you are. And number two, because of who you are too. There's a way we behave. Because we know where we are. You know, I told you the other day, I said, there's church training. You know, there's something called home training. You know, there's home training. And if you grew up with some of our parents like that, home training includes high contact. There's a way they communicate divine things by looking at you. You say, I've made food, will you eat? My mom looks at you. And you say, I have eaten. It is not true. But it's true. I have eaten at highs. Home training. Home training is how someone will give you money. And you will keep the money. And say, I was giving money. That's the first part of the trade. And then they bring it. My money. Then they take it. Home train. One time like that, my mom checked my school bag. Someone's, you know, there's pen, there's biro. Someone's biro. Said, whose biro is this? I didn't even remember. I said, She first of all, you know, ministered to me to remember. So when I received the fivefold ministry, I said, He said, go along there, Joseph. He said, am I his mother? I said, no. So why do you think what belongs to you? I said, we exchange. So the one I gave you, you are not content. Whatever your parents give you, that's training, right? So you behave yourself outside. What would you do? And sometimes you feel like their eyes are everywhere. You just go over and say, you know, that's training. Do you know, those things live with you as you grow up. You know, I was talking to my son, Craig, and something happened. He was there. I was answering the call. So he saw I was answering the call. And I was doing like this. He said, who are you talking to that you are bowing down with the phone? I said, this man, who was in government college in 1963. He said, I knew. I said, yeah. He said, because of the way you greet people, even when they are not there. He said, I do the same thing too. When I take calls, because I've seen you do it. That's training. You know, you can say what I believe is a person out there say, what is that? Very bad, sir. No, I don't do that. You know, and the man I was speaking to, that he knew, the man called to thank me for something I did for him. I write on the phone now. That's home training. He lives with you. Proverbs 22:6 says, train up a child the way you should go. So I pity parents that say, is this generation? No. God didn't ask you to accept the generation. Train up. Train. A training. That's the same thing with pastors. There's a train of the Spirit of God that you must give the flock. There's a people of nowadays, you know, they don't really like to bring Bible to church. They just like to, you know, they don't like all these sermons. They have so many questions. And keep that nonsense. It's a training that thou mayest know how you ought to behave. A training that goes with it. Hallelujah. I remember when I went to government college. When I was younger, I used to eat my food in series. I'll take a spoon, go and watch TV, come back, take the second spoon. Of course, you don't touch the meat, or my mother will take your life and give you back. If you touch the meat first, you say, oh, because the meat is supposed to be the crown of the meat. So the meat must be last. You know, so I used to eat in series. When I go to GCI and the body house, and I was still trying to eat, and they said, mess over. Mess over means clear it. And mess over means the moment they say mess over, which means the food, time is over. They say, get up, leave. You can't carry the food outside. So I'm going out. then some of the things are very interesting. And secondly, also, they asked me to clear the food. This particular senior, he was a food prepare. He would say, because they have to give you instruction to start to serve. Serving is messing, that's what we call it. So say, start to mess. So, a mess. So, they were serving the food. So, within 2 minutes, mess over! This is the prayer for us. Alright, we thank you for the booty, Jesus, amen. Very fast prayer. Okay. So I learned how to eat quickly. So, as I said, stop messing. Say, quickly, man. And look at the book. Mess over. So, when I got back home, my dad sat down with me. So he saw how I was eating very fast. He knew I had changed. He said, I noticed something. I said, what? You don't chew your food. I said, why did you send me to GCR? If you wanted me to chew my food, you sent me to a school where you don't even need spoon. He said, I know your problem. He told me, he said, it's the body house. I was like that too. So when I got to Ife, I changed. I said, let me too get to university, I'll change. If I go and pick me, because people started doing some funny things. Particularly when they put all the junior boys in the same table. Hey! As they say, start messing. Mess, somebody just carry the pot and be running. So, I don't think very quick. So, there's something called training. So, when you are in your office and they say, let us pray, morning devotion, you may not even agree with them doctrinally, but you have a training. Is that okay? A training. You put off your phone. Even if they are, see, training is such that even if everybody is well doing it, doesn't make any difference. You are not of this world. And by the grace of God, you are not impressionable for the world. Hallelujah. So you say, no, that's not the word of God. Your life will change how they think. So there is a way to behave. Look at it, verse 20. Learn something? Said, I knew it not. So the first thing is to know where we are. Say, this is heaven and earth. Say, this is heaven and earth. Now says, he was afraid. Last week we looked at that. He said, this place is dreadful. We said the second thing is awe, respect. What you don't respect cannot bless you. What you don't respect can never bless you. Who you don't respect can't bless you. What you don't regard, you have to honor the place. And one of the ways to know you honor the house of God is to get there early. Get in early. Early. I hate late coming. In fact, you feel, I really hate it. And I was groomed that way. Back then, in our ministry, we used to hold our meetings in the evenings. Evenings, 4 or 5 or so. But I used to make sure that the members of the church, the ministry then, they will attend Sunday service. So we shall attend the church together in the Kenya. So I was living in the Korodu. So I'll get a bus, fill the place up, the bus up. And we'll go out in the morning. The service was 7:30. We were not late once. Not once. I will get there. I will attend the 2 services. Get back to go and rest for 2 hours. Then start the real service. As it were, the main one in the evening. Late coming? No. In fact, I was speaking for the PFN recently. So they gave me a time. So somehow, we got into traffic. You know, we didn't end the message. We got late. I really felt bad. And they were almost upset. And then someone said, he said, it's not like that. That this is very strange. I said, in my life, that day I was like 35 minutes late. I said, in my life, I've never been late. Never. I'm always there on time. Even when I'm preaching. It's not for any other reason. It's respect. Reverence. Sometimes we miss it from home. The fact that you thought you could come in late itself has taken you away from what's going on there. Get in early. There's no reason why you should come for a service late. There's no reason. Because you had gotten that information ahead of time. You didn't plan. And why didn't you plan? Because you were not respecting the place well. If you look at the distance of where you work to where you worship, I'm sure where you work is farther. And you get there on time. But where you worship is the one that you get late to because of lack of respect. God is here. I said, God is here. This is heaven. And we must treat it that way. Respect what we do. It's a holy place. It's a sacred area. Respect the place. How awesome. That's what Jacob said. How awesome is this place? Are you here? So the church, he calls it the gate of heaven. The gate of heaven. The gate of heaven. You see, the heaven people are looking for. They think heaven is on the clouds. They now wear white and wear crucifix. And wear, this is the heaven. The gathering of believers. So we must respect this as heaven. Give it the awe, reverence that heaven requires. So, let's describe this meeting. This is a supernatural assembly. What did I say? Say it again. So, but it rained this morning, you know it rained. Come off it. If it rained on your visa appointment, you will beat the rain. If you're going for a contract, and they say you come and make a presentation for a contract, $100 million, then you send them a text. Sorry guys, you know it's raining now, so can you just fix for another day? Whoever is doing you has grace to do you. what are you doing? I mean, there was this guy, a friend of mine actually, classmate, he was going for an interview. He said, he was ready, really, he was on the island. He said, he looked at the time, he jumped down from his car, left his driver, and started running. He said he ran and ran and ran and ran, with his suit, and tie. So he now met a woman on the way. The woman was walking too. The woman said, please, can you let us use your umbrella? So he waited. And it was okay. He said, can we move fast? Because I said, oh, no problem. Please, madam, let's move fast. I know I want to help you. They move fast and fast. So by the time he got there, he sat down. That was the woman to interview him. She said, you already passed the interview. Man, I said, me give you umbrella for what? Are you here? So, you have no excuses. You only give excuses for what you're not willing to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I expect by next Sunday, your attitude should change. It's the house of God. Don't say, I'm going to come to church only because Sister Susan also told me. Because, no. Because God told you, it's his house. It's a sacred place. Are you following this? So it's heaven on earth. Look at the descriptions. The descriptions used, I mentioned one, of the church where we are is the house of God. The house of God. Heaven on earth. So, what did Jacob do? Verse 18. He rose up early in the morning and took the stone that he had put for his pillows, set up a pillar. You notice that Paul used the word pillar and ground. Are you here? That's what Paul is doing. Paul is taking you back to Jacob. How you must behave. How must you behave? You must behave with knowledge, reverence, respect. So he says here, he poured oil on top of it. He poured oil. Now, I told you the other day that the Old Testament is in the culture, not in the message, right? Alright, good. The Old Testament is in the culture, not the message. Now, the word to pour is the word Yashak. Y-A-W-T-S-A-K. Now, Today, when we pour oil, just people just say, we want to anoint something, that people that use anointing oil. I don't use anointing oil, but people do. There was even one guy like that. You know, my friend, Pastor Larry Amuso, he's the Lord, don't be the Lord now. We call him Bishop. So we're trying to, cooking for us then. So he wanted to fry plantain. So he brought the olive oil to fry plantain. And this guy came from the church where they say the Holy Oil is the Holy Spirit. So I said, you are cooking with the Holy Spirit. You know, but that's very, very wrong teaching. Now, people just put salt on the surface. No. Really, the use of oil was to pour. Yashak. It means on the whole surface. That is, for example, if they want to anoint someone for an office in the Old Testament, they pour the whole bottle on his entire body. Pay attention to what I'm about to say. So the yashak here means to smear the whole surface. You didn't just get up and say, oh, yeah. No, no. He actually pasted it, left to the purple. He plastered the whole place with it. My grandma. On the whole surface. It wasn't something he did casually. The shark. He put it in. I mean, he was very, very deliberate about it. To wrap it together. Okay. Genesis 38:14. It means to. Yep. It means to cover the place with it. He covered it. To cover the whole place. What it means is that we show respect to everything we're doing. He covered the whole place. Yashak. With the word oil there, Shemen, S-H-S-H-E-M-E-N, Shemen in their world is life. Why would he put it there? Because he sees this place is heavenly. Now in Genesis 31, pay attention. So anointing is sacred. When things are anointed, it means they are different. Anything called anointed in the Old Testament means it's different. So what has he done here? He has said this assembly is different. So in Genesis 31 and 13. Let's read it together. Genesis 31, 13. Where you first see the word anoint in the whole Bible. Let's go. Genesis 31, 13. Are you here? So let's go. I am the God of Bethel. Remember Bethel? Good. Where thou anointed the pillar. Where you anointed. Now, notice the sequence. It didn't say you anointed it, then it became Bethel. No. I am the God of Bethel. Where you reverenced. Where you respected. So, God expects us to treat his house with respect. Where you put regard and respect. A place and a people. And you see, David used it a whole lot in the Psalms. Let's run through the word anointed. Psalm 2. Take your Bible quick. We'll run through some text. Psalm 2. To anoint means to treat specially. To anoint means to choose for a purpose. Psalm 2 verse 2. The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel against the Lord and against his anointed. Psalm 2 and verse 2. Psalm 18 and verse 50. Psalm 18 and verse 50. Great deliverance gives unto his king and shows mercy to his anointed, to David and to his seed forever, to the person he has chosen. Psalm 20 and verse 6. I that the Lord saveth his anointed, he will hear him. The one he saves from his holy heaven with his saving strength is anointed. Psalm 28 and verse 8. The Lord is their strength. He is the saving strength of his anointed. So those who are saved and delivered are also called anointed. Psalm 45 and verse 7. He has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Psalm 84 and verse 7. 84 verse 7. Psalm 89, sorry, verse 20. 89 and verse 20. I have found David my servant, with my holy oil have I anointed him. Psalm 89 verse 20. Verse 51. Wherewith thine enemies have reproached, O Lord, wherewith they have reproached the footsteps of thine anointed. Psalm 92 and verse 10. Psalm 92 and verse 10. My own, thou shalt exalt like the horn of unicorn. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Now pay attention to Psalm 132. And verse 10. For thy servant David's sake, turn not away the face of thine anointed. Verse 17. There will I make the honor of David to God. I have ordained a lamp for my anointed. Now what was the emphasis? Quickly look at verse 13. The Lord has chosen Zion. He has desired for his habitation. This is my rest place forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. So he's talking about his rest place, the assembly of people to his name. Now Psalm 23. You know that one well. Psalm 23, Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Then look at verse 5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. So to anoint means to treat as sacred, to treat as holy. And in the Old Testament, three people were called anointed. The king, the prophet, 1 Kings 19:16, where Elijah was to anoint a prophet, and the priest. King, priest, and prophet. In Psalm 105, quick, Psalm 105, and verse 13. When they went from one nation to another, from one kingdom to another, people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sake. Let's take 15 together, saying, touch not my anointed, do my prophets no harm. That is, do not touch. That doesn't mean no hug. I mean, it means do not strike, accuse, abuse anyone that I have chosen. Now he's talking about the people here. Do my prophets no harm. So the anointing is for sacredness. So when Jacob anoints that place, it means the gathering of believers. The house of God is a place we have to treat differently. I'm going to give you an assignment in just 2 minutes or a minute. Write the things you need to do differently from today towards the house of God. Put it down in 1 minute. What do I need? Because we keep going, right? Come on. Come on now. All right, good. Write things you have to improve upon in how you treat the house of God, heaven and earth. Write it down. I give you just 1 minute. What needs to change in your attitude? And it's not just about this service. It's about the midweek service. It's about the cell group meetings, the fellowship, the prayer group meetings. What needs to change in your attitude? What you have written down is the anointing from you. Treating it as special and sacred. As special and sacred. Let's see a few things. New Testament. Are you here? In Matthew 18 and 20. I'm going to start from there in the second service. Matthew 18, 20. For where? So mark the word where. Where is the place, right? Huh? Where is the place? Is that 608? Very well. Where two or three are gathered. Physical? Is that physical? There. In my name. There am I in the midst of them. So church can be a person. It's a people in a place. Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. There am I. For example, pause. This should be abnormal. This notice. It should be abnormal, right? Come on. It should be abnormal. Because no one should tell you to switch off your phone when you are in a church service. Now we can tell that to a first timer who maybe not shouldn't know, maybe doesn't know. But not you. Because you know what the house of God is. So it says, there I am in the midst of them. So Paul begins to instruct, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5, where he talks about the kind of conduct. Now he talks about a fellow who has his father's wife. And Paul says in verse 1, it is reported commonly that there is fornication among you. And such fornication that is not as much named among the Gentiles as once you have his father's wife. And you are puffed up and have not rather mourned. Verse 2. That you have done this deed might be taken away from among you. That is, there's something about our gathering. Verse 3. For I verily, as absent in the body, yet present in spirit. 1 Corinthians 5. I have judged already as though I were present concerning him that has done this deed. Let's take 4 together. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you gather together, and my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. Watch it. It says, when you gather, in the name. Talks about heaven. You do heavenly activities. Now, what do they do? Verse 13. Them that are without God judge. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. I'm going to break it up in a second. So look at Deuteronomy 13:5, where he taught that from. Deuteronomy 13:5. You in church? All right, good. 13 and verse 5. And that prophet or that dreamer, he says, we shall put to death because he had taken to you, they have spoken to you to turn away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to trust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk. So thou shalt put the evil away from the midst of you. And Paul in 1 Corinthians 5:13 applies that to the church meeting. Why? Because the church meeting is holy ground, is a promised land. He says, put it away. It doesn't just stop there. He talks about judging. Look at it. He says in chapter 6 that if there are two brethren that have, you know, issues amongst themselves, so bring it to the church. Let someone judge it. Because church is heaven on earth. We resolve issues here. Heaven on earth. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, I close here. He talks about the eating of food. 1 Corinthians 11. Where he says that when people come together, and he says it's not for the good, rather for the worse, that people exhibit selfishness. See, this is not supposed to be. The house of God is different. In the house of God, we don't show class. No, we don't. We mourn. We don't treat sin with levity. We treat ourselves with honor. We don't show class. So what does he say? 1 Corinthians 11:22. Have you not houses to eat and drink in? Or despise ye the church of God? When we do things in the house of God that should have been done elsewhere, we're despising the house of God. We treat this place with honor, with respect. Is that clear? This is in heaven. Your attitude towards the house of God must be heaven. Bless this morning. Stand to your feet. Bless his name. Yeah.
concerning the Spirit.